VGRT Gaming Podcast, Episode 584, recorded on August 25th, 2020.
Welcome to the 584th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and 417th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am TJ Denzer.
I am Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
You know, I thought about doing a gaming flashback, but these articles are going to be so long, it's going to take up all the time. And I don't want another two-hour episode.
Yeah, let's avoid that.
Anyway, so... what I've been playing is a lot of things. I've been playing a lot of Town of Salem, but you knew that already. There's a new game that was released on Game Pass. It's a mountain bike game, and I'm trying to remember its name. TJ, you may know the name of the game I'm thinking about, right?
Mountain biking game?
Yeah, it's a mountain biking game. And I'm looking it up just to...
Descenders?
Yeah, Descenders is the name of the game. Yeah. Huh. So, the only problem I have with it is that the controls are a bit too laggy and slick.
Mm.
But you know what just joined Game Pass, TJ?
What's that?
Super Lucky's Tale.
Oh.
New Super Lucky's Tale. The one I think that was released on the Switch.
Oh, nice.
It was on... First it was on Xbox as Super Lucky's Tale. Then it came to the Switch as New Super Lucky's Tale. And now New Super Lucky's Tale is now on Game Pass. And what isn't on Game Pass or anywhere is Tunic. This has been going on for 3 years now, folks.
They are working on it. It's not abandoned.
Yeah. But remember, TJ said... I don't want that squirrel. I want the other squirrel. I want the good squirrel, Tunic Squirrel.
They're not squirrels. Yeah. They're foxes.
Foxes, whatever. They're like squirrels to me. Actually.
They're different animals.
You know, I'm just wondering when there's going to be a crossover between Super Lucky and Conker.
I don't know, because like that would require what Rare to get involved with that, and they're doing that Everwild game right now.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be too hard. I mean, but it doesn't even have to be Rare. I mean, can you imagine Conker with Lucky? Lucky is everything that Conker was going to be until they made him into a foul-mouthed drinking guy. So, yeah. I also downloaded Battletoads. I haven't played it yet. They made it so it's sort of like playing an 80s cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, it's very short. And the gameplay is standard, but the writing is really, really good.
Hmm. Yeah, I like that game is super polarizing because I've been looking around, like the reviews have been kind of this way and that way, depending on the writer.
Okay, let me put it this way: you have to be in the mood to play Battletoads.
Yeah. I mean, I like the idea of a 90s cartoon that's also a beat-em-up. I really do dig the style they went with.
It's also a fish out of water because Battletoads are a cartoon show. They've been on ice for – now they come back. And, you know, they're trying to adjust to – so it's a fish out of water thing too.
Yeah. But we'll see what you think. Like, I'm curious to see. Go ahead, Scott.
I think it's playing on the nostalgia – factor. I mean, because people loved Battletoads and would probably, I'm sure they demanded it enough that this came about. It wasn't crowdfunded, right? It was
no,
by the actual.
It was, here's the thing: everybody wanted Rare to remake Battletoads. And it was just a demand, and they did it. So
yeah.
The other game which I've been playing a metric fuck ton of is Microsoft Flight Simulator, and now I have 4K TV for it.
That is a beautiful game. I've seen some YouTubers playing it and flying around their houses. Apparently, that is the favorite thing for everyone to do, go to was, hey, look at my house, everyone.
I did that. But it isn't perfect. There are parts of the world which have not been sculpted, because most of it is just Bing Earth, you know, so it interpolates what Bing Earth is. So when I was at the airport that's at Denali National Park, you know, where Mount McKinley is, it looked terrible. even for a game that would have been in 2000, it looked terrible. So there are certain things that they have to, you know, you can't do everything. I mean, there is we do have a news item about some weird stuff that's in it. But with me, I created a typhoon and tried to fly from one end of Hawaii to the other.
I guess it didn't work.
It almost worked, except I forgot that there's a really big mountain on the big island that I should have accounted for. So what happens is I'm flying through storm clouds and there's lightning going all around me, and if I'm low enough, there's rain all over the thing, and I'm basically making it through, but it's scary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I also bought Hard West and all the expansions for $4 on Steam. You could buy the vanilla Hard West for less than $2 right now. So, and for those who don't know, it's basically XCOM set in the Wild West.
Hmm. Oh yeah, I remember you telling me about this game.
So I'm gonna try it out. And one of the things about 4K monitor, you know, I just go in and it's already preset to 4K. You know, and all the so I have a good enough. I still want to get more RAM though. I mean, I have 16 gigabytes of RAM. I want more. I can fly 4K in Microsoft Flight Simulator, but I decide instead to go to 2K, but jack all the graphics options up to Ultra, and it's working pretty well that way. I can deal with 2K. I don't need 4K. I am playing other games with 4K. I'm playing Town of Salem with 4K, and it's like all the text is just leaping off the screen at me now.
Yeah.
Super crisp. And it just looks wonderful. The only thing that, you know, if it's a non-scalable object, like an icon, then it looks weird. But, yeah, I mean, you know, there's no buyer's remorse here, and I got it really super cheap. I got it for $300, not including tax and not including the four-year warranty, because one of the dangers of having a 4K LCD monitor is you can get dead pixels. So if I get dead pixels, I'll just ship it off and say, get me a new one. And I had to get a new monitor because my old monitor was 720p.
Yeah. Yeah, like, Microsoft Flight Simulator, that is a game that they'll probably be updating until probably 2030. That game...
They're going to keep updating that thing. It's going to be... And it's not just Microsoft. There's a metric fuck ton of third-party developers, you know, and I'm sticking with the Cessna. I know I could fly a jumbo jet if I want to, or a jet, but I'm flying a Cessna because I want to go slow, relatively slow. I want to enjoy everything that there is to see.
I think I would be searching out the World Wonders, you know, the various temples and castles and stuff like that.
I might go to Egypt. Now, TJ, did you see the video I sent you? That 5-minute video of all the South Seas stuff? Because TJ wanted me to fly in the South Seas, you know.
That's where I want to go. Like, you know, that's one of the places I want to go is the South. If I had that game, which I could probably fit it onto my laptop, but I don't know how. I'd have to mess with the settings. But I think if I wanted to do that game, I would probably go to the South Pacific, like you said, Fiji. Well,
I sent a video for you, which actually shows it all off.
Yeah, which it looks great. I want to do that.
I also tried to fly a Cessna in the dead of winter in Fairbanks, Alaska, during a blizzard.
Weren't you just? I saw your post on, I think, Twitter about how you flew a plane in the winter that does not have frost.
It may have pilot heat, but it doesn't have any de-icing.
Uh-huh.
So basically, it was a 5-minute flight, but I landed safely in a field. So
mm-hmm.
That's good.
So I'll just die of frostbite instead.
Hooray!
But it's fun. I mean, here's the thing: even in Hawaii, During the thunderstorm, if I flew too high, I would start getting ice there too. Even though the temperature was like 80 degrees. So yeah, I saw someone who posted a video of them flying through a thunderhead, and it was like going through the Eye of Moria. One of the things I like is when I was flying in the dead of winter, I did it so that the sun was up, and if you know anything about Alaska, it was like 1 hour of sunlight in December. So what happens is you see this, the sun was south of me. That's how far north I was.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think I might visit the desert next.
Yeah, it's impressive what they do with that game. Like, I also can't wait to see what kind of mods people come up with that game.
Oh, I'm sure they will. I'm waiting for somebody to mod a dragon. They absolutely will. There'll be some plane that you can fly into dragon and it's just flying through the air, going over a city or whatever.
Yeah, well, you know, funny thing about going over a city, one of the real neat parts is that you see the cars driving below.
That is amazing. I think this is a very chill game where you could just enjoy the view a lot.
If you go to Africa, you will see giraffes and elephants.
You know what I want in this game? I want a multiplayer passenger option where somebody else flies the plane.
Multiplayer,
and,
I mean.
Well, where somebody else flies the plane and I just chill in there and just watch.
Or you can actually be the one who's actually taking the outside, because if I go to an external view, it's sort of like I have to fly but not really see what I'm doing.
Bonus points if they incorporate VR into this game and I can actually just sit down and look around.
They already announced VR for it.
I know, but like, there you go. Bonus points if you incorporate a passenger mode VR experience.
Yeah.
So yeah, I probably will visit Egypt next and have a snowstorm there. See what happens.
God, the data this game uses if you turn on the real world mapping though.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I think I'm getting the data, you know, but there is a chance that it'll say no live service.
Yeah, because like this thing takes up like we'll spend gigabytes on a single trip if you let it.
Anyway, but everybody's loving it. I mean, the scores seem to be hedging their bets a bit. I'm seeing a lot of 89s, like, you know, but I think it's also because they realize that this is not a static game. They're treating it almost like an MMO.
This is straight up like our writer over at Shack News called it a killer app, and I think that's high applause.
See the meme on Twitter. I love this guy. He posted them. They're complaining that they're only getting 90 frames per second on their 4K views of Flight Simulator. Me, and it shows a heavily pixelated plane.
Yeah. But, like, that's what this is, though. This game has such a massive ceiling. This is kind of like the transition into the next generation of gaming. This is what it's going to look like. This is what the ceiling will look like there.
It reminds me, you know, Crisis Remastered is coming out.
And not just the ceiling, but also the minimum. The minimum of this game isn't half bad either.
Yeah. I also saw in the store Mafia Remastered as well coming. And they completely remastered that. They had to do it from the ground up.
Yes. I feel like they delayed it a little bit, but it's still coming.
Yeah. On a side note, Madden is getting terrible reviews.
Of course.
No, not of course, because last year Madden 20 was awful, and IGN still gave it an 8.
It's because IGN are hacks when it comes to those games.
IGN released their review in progress today. And it's a review in progress, but they said if we're going to review it right now, we're giving it a 6.
Ugh, whatever. It's not even a 6.
I know, I'm just saying, but IGN is giving it a 6. You can imagine what other people are giving it.
Microsoft Flight Simulator or a different game?
No, Madden
21.
Oh, the Madden, yeah, that's right.
This game is so bad that if you play it on PC, it will reformat all of your display drivers to, and sometimes to drivers that your display can't handle. And then you'll, once you exit the game, you'll have to reset all your displays back to their original resolutions.
There's also the NBA 2K21 demo came out, so I downloaded it. I'm definitely not going to buy it, but I just wanted to see, at least I get to see what it's like.
Yeah.
And it's a pity because, you know, 2K, you know, the gameplay in NBA is good enough. The only problem is that when you want to play My Career, it's distorted by VC. Because they want you to play your My Career character online. And the career mode always sucks.
Yeah.
I hate that story. It's always so banal.
But it's got next-gen sweat.
Yeah, whatever. And the thing about Madden is, I'm wondering how much dev time actually went to the 8th generation version. I'm wondering how much manpower they put towards the 9th generation for Series X and PlayStation 5. I get the impression that there's absolutely no changes in 20, period. None. No real changes, anyway. I think all the work is going towards the next generation. Which is the reverse of what happened with Madden 06. Madden 06 for the Xbox 360 was awful, but Madden 06 for the PlayStation 2 and original Xbox were great. They put everything into graphics in the Xbox 360 version, but made it awful. And I think they're trying to learn from that mistake, and we're going to put all our manpower into the next gen. And my thing is, why even put out Madden 20 anyway, then? For Xbox One and PlayStation 4, then? Why bother? I mean, I guess you'll get money from it, but you're damaging the brand.
Yeah. You know, 2K can't come soon enough with whatever they're doing with their sport, with their NFL license.
You know, MLB, the show is going to be multi-platform.
Yep.
So we'll see about that. I played RBI Baseball 20, and it is god-awful.
Yeah.
They improved it, but improved it from tremendously bad to just bad. So, and this is the reason why the MLB told Sony, you're going to make this multi-platform or else. Because they were tired of making bad... Because RBI Baseball is developed and published by MLB developers. And I don't know who they hired for it, but they obviously didn't put much money into making it.
Yeah.
So anyways, Scott, what have you been playing?
I've been playing the demo by Sea of Stars. Sabotage Studios has released a demo, and it's you know, a work in progress, of course. And they said it was 2 years.
Well, it's
you
coming
know,
out in 2020, yeah.
Yeah, well, 2022 or something.
2022, I'm sorry.
Right. And so, but they have a game, a demo for the backers to play, and there's probably YouTube videos of it now, and you can experience the combat, which is, I think, pretty simple and complex.
It's co-op
at the same
Zelda. It's co-op Zelda.
It's what?
It's co-op Zelda.
No.
Really?
It's not. It's not
characters
Zelda at all.
Like Zelda.
It's not Zelda. It's, no. Okay, so basically it's turn-based for starters, and you...
Not the movement.
What?
Well, even then, it looks more like... I would say it looks more like Chrono Trigger than it looks like anything from Zelda.
It's Chrono Trigger. But basically, what you start combat, and you can hit the enemies, and they give off these time shards, and you can absorb them to increase your attacks or your skills, if you do a skill. And what's interesting also is when you do a skill like the Moonerang, you time it so that way when it comes back to the character, they can reflect it back and you just see how many hits you can get just on, you know, timing the button. And the sun guy has a fireball and you have to spam the X button to get a really strong attack there. And then they combine their abilities, just like in Chrono Trigger, with ability points, and then they can do a group heal, or they can do Sun Moonerang and some other abilities as well. And you level up, and you pick an attribute that you want, if you want magic attack or defense.
You know, it's funny because it has a 16-bit look, but all the lighting effects are modern.
Oh yeah.
So you have this weird thing in which you have 16-bit characters, but things that glow, you know, glow realistically.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous, and when you're playing it, you just want to sit there and just stare at the screen and just be like, wow, this is gorgeous.
The environments are beautiful, and the character animations and even the monster animations are just impressive.
And here's another thing. You can crawl all over the damn place. Because like in most games, you're kind of, you actually are kind of guided to where you're supposed to go. Here, you could just jump off into the water, go explore, see if there's something hidden. There's a bunch of different cliff sides you can climb up on. There's a lot of encouragement to just go and explore, and it's not a clear path of you're going this way through the dungeon or whatever.
Yeah, but it has a Mario-esque map, you know?
Mario?
Points on the map, and then you...
Yeah, that's Chrono Trigger's map. That's Chrono Trigger's map. Yeah.
Or yeah, like it's like a overworld, and there's landmarks on the overworld that you can go to.
Yes. So
I like any game in which the bad guy is called the Fleshmancer.
Yes, that's the Fleshmancer, basically a wizard that constructs golems or just does all sorts of stuff with the flesh, and it's pretty gruesome.
Yeah, there's some H.R. Giger stuff going on.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm a bit of a Fleshmancer myself in the bedroom.
Oh, man. TJ. But, it's really cool because you get to the first town, although the only town, really, that you're allowed to see.
There's a sea shelter.
And, yeah, there's a little water town, and you can hit the bell, you can lower the water, raise the water, and you can access different parts of it. And the music is awesome. By the way, the music is just so good so far, you know, it just jazzes you up, you know, you're just enjoying yourself. And the story, even though it's like a small smidgen of what you're going to experience, and they have redacted for spoilers, so they don't give you too much, but they're giving you just enough to understand the characters and the conflict.
So this wasn't even like – this wasn't even early access. This is like a backer's demo that you played.
Yeah, this is a backer's demo.
So that's pretty impressive though from what you say. Like it sounds like they're coming along quite well.
Yeah, I think so. It's very encouraging to see this, and I like seeing it and being able to play what they've done so far. And, of course, we can give them suggestions and find any bugs. You know, they have that on Discord. And Discord, this is like just a new – like – phase of kickstarting or crowdfunding is having this really easy to communicate with the developers, because I liked the forums when I was on Pillars, but this feels more so. I can see when they're on, and they can have events, you know, and say like an AMA or just, you know, like, oh, we're streaming today, we're going to stream a game and you can talk to us, and it just feels more in touch with them. So I'm really enjoying being on Discord with these crowdfunded
games. Yeah, they have a Discord channel that's open to everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, yeah, the demo was very good. And if you back the game, you can download the demo and try it out or check it out on YouTube.
No, it's already done with its backing, isn't it? It stopped
August
17th, yeah.
It was back in, I think, April.
Mm-hmm.
So it finished its backing. It made more than enough money, and I backed on a level that got me a soundtrack and the game. And so when that comes out, I'll get it. And this is also, like I said,
Canadian.
Yep, it's Canadian, and it's in the same universe as The Messenger. So I don't know if time travel is going to happen or not. I just feel like it could. It's a possibility. I just don't know yet. So this was a very small set. I guess this could be called a vertical slice because they're showing you get to play different aspects of the game. You know, you a dungeon. You get like two dungeons, I guess. You get the opening beach.
Okay, by the way, we should mention that Sabotage Studio is run by Yasunori Mitsuda. For those who don't know, he was actually behind Chrono Trigger and Xenogears.
Yeah, he joined for the music. I thought yeah.
Hold on.
And Xenoblade Chronicles.
What was his name?
Mitsuda, I thought, joined to help.
Yasunori Mitsuda. He worked on Chrono Trigger. He worked on Xenogears. He worked on Shadow Hearts. He worked on Xenoblade
Chronicles. Oh, my God. Shadow Hearts has a great soundtrack. Xenogears has one of my favorite soundtracks of all time. And, God,
He worked on Lunar Sark. He worked on... Yeah.
Everybody loves the Chrono Trigger soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. This guy worked on a lot of good stuff. Dang. He did Chrono Cross as well, which makes sense.
Of course I said that.
he did Kid Icarus Uprising. I love the soundtrack in that game. Mm-hmm.
Well, keep in mind that he has people that he works. He's not a composer. I mean, of course he loved his music from Chrono Trigger. That's Ubo Uematsu. But he also worked on the first Mario Party.
Yes.
So.
It looks like it looks like he was a contributor on Kid Icarus Uprising. But like you say, it says with others.
Well, yeah. But a lot of these games he worked on by himself. I mean, Chrono Cross was all his.
Yes. Valkyria, he had hand in Valkyria Revolution. Not bad.
He also worked on Final Fantasy V. He worked on The Secret of Mana. So, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, just wanted you say Sabotage Studios, a lot of people say, what's that? So.
Oh. I didn't think it was head by Mitsuda. I thought Mitsuda was... Yeah, he's the composer. He joined the team for that, for Sabotage Studios.
Ah, he's also done just, like, straight-up supervising sound production in games like he did the first Breath of Fire.
Yes.
Or no, Breath of Fire Dragon Quarter.
It's, I forgot, it's Eric something is the head music, head soundtrack for Sea of Stars, but Mitsuda is going to do some tracks. I don't know how that's going to be split up, but they're both going to work on it.
Neat.
Yeah, that's all I know as far as that is concerned. Let's see if I can... Yeah, there's Eric. That's the sound guy. The music soundtrack. Theri is the... Yeah. He's the guy who's heading Sabotage Studios. And they did The Messenger.
Boulanger, mm-hmm. He was... I forgot what he did. He was...
He did Messenger.
No, he did the Lego Bionicle games. The Lego games and... TJ, what have you been playing?
So this week I fiddled around a lot with Rogue Legacy 2.
Okay.
I like that game a lot. Have you guys played it before?
No. Rogue Legacy, I don't think so.
So this is a roguelike.
I just haven't played it.
This is a roguelike where you play as a knight and the dungeon. You go into a dungeon and they're all randomized. Like all, it's sort of like a Metroidvania, but every room is randomized based on the run you're playing.
Just picture Mega Man wearing a suit of armor.
Not really. Even he doesn't have a gun. He just has a sword.
That's what I'm saying. No, it's Mega Man. He looks like Mega Man wearing a suit of armor.
He has like a funny little gait about him too. He marches forward with his sword held high in the air. But in Rogue Legacy 2, okay. Actually, first off,
you have a castle.
When you die, you lose that character, and instead you like pick one of their three heirs to play as, and they'll have like different stats and attributes, but they'll also have different genetic traits, and it can be anything from like
they have different skin tones and different hair.
And it can be anything from like ADHD, where they move faster, to IBS, where like when they jump, they release an explosive fart. And then there's stuff like
There is, and Rogue Legacy, I'm going to say there is sort of a Castle Crashers sort of humor to it.
Yes. And Rogue Legacy 2, like, they really upped a little bit of everything. Like, you...
Are you playing the final version or the Early Access version?
This is Early Access. Right. They're not even close to done. They just released it in Early Access recently. Yeah. But they added a whole bunch of new cool stuff. Like, first off, they added Insight, where, like, as you're going through the dungeon, you can discover, like, basically context and lore, and also the lore gives you clues about the dungeon you're in. So if you find a certain room and you've found some insight about it, you might know that there's a secret hidden wall that you can break that will lead you to a treasure chest or a relic.
Yeah. The other mechanic is that you have a home base, a castle. And
yeah, every time you die.
And, like, you can unlock a blacksmith, or unlock the ranger, or unlock the mage, or unlock the barbarian, or, you know, if you increase the mess hall, you know, you get better, you get higher HP, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, every time you, you go as far as you can in the roguelike, trying to get to the boss and kill them, and you collect all the gold that you can along the way. So everything that you collect, when you pick your heir, you, like, you can also buy upgrades for your castle, like more strength, a blacksmith to purchase weapons, or an enchantress that will let you equip relics.
Or open unlock new character classes.
But then every time that you re-enter the dungeon, you have to give, like, pretty much 90% of your gold to this boatman who will take you across the river. So you want to try to spend everything that you can before you leave.
I think that's the point of the boatman is... You know, because if you played Thief, you know, the game made sure that you used all the weapons that you had and you didn't just hoard them.
Mm-hmm.
This one is sort of like, yeah, get back in there and spend money.
And I really like the classes because, like, they had classes in the first game, but it was all different variations attached to the same sword guy. Like, it would be a spell sword who could cast who had higher mana and could cast different spells better. Or you would have, like, a thief that would be faster, but it was all the same knight. In this game, like, the classes are actually extremely different. Like, the ranger has a bow and arrow that you can, like, crit with. Like, they have a chance of doing critical attacks on enemies. The barbarian has, like, a super hard-hitting ground attack, and then, like, a spinning jump attack in the air. So they all play very, very different from each other, which is great. And then, like, the traits that they've put in this game are really fun, too. Like, the new ones are interesting. There's one where... it's kind of like Nyan Cat, where, like, a colorful trail follows every different character on the screen. There's one where you basically have feather bones, where you'll take more damage, but every time you jump, you float slowly down to the ground.
Like Luigi.
Yeah, you float down to the ground instead of dropping like a rock. They're fun. I like them. Like, the whole game is shaping up pretty fun for being in early access.
It just makes me wish that they'd not made, I wish they made it so that Void Bastards didn't make me want to punch the screen.
You should play this instead. It's fun.
And it's not quite the same game, though. Void Bastards is a first-person shooter stealth game.
Sure.
But it had the same thing in which you would randomly get somebody and they'd have different stats that did things. So, yeah, I mean, when is this supposed to be coming out anyway? Let me check.
They're trying to get it out in 2021, and they're going to be doing major updates every 2 months. So that means that we'll see something new in October. Right now there's one full dungeon and then half of another dungeon made. There's four classes. There's a bunch of items and relics and spells. And they're going to just, like, every 2 months or so, they're going to add a whole bunch of new stuff until they finally released 1.0.
So let's move on to the game news. Let's all depress ourselves a little bit.
Hooray.
I mean, there's a real shit show going on, but that's the Republican National Convention. We're not going to talk about these game news, which is a different kind of shit show.
Yay.
Multiple employees resign over Skullgirls studio head's behavior, and this comes to us from PC Gamer. On July 3rd, Skullgirls developer – why can't I say Skullgirls for some reason? Lab Zero Games said it would make a statement about lead designer Mike Zaymont, who has been accused of making inappropriate comments toward two people in the fighting game community. That statement never came, but according to multiple employees, an internal investigation took place which revealed a bigger pattern of inappropriate behavior from Zaymont. As a result of that investigation, at least three employees have resigned from Lab Zero. Public criticism of Zaymont began in June after he referenced Eric Garner and George Floyd's last words, "I can't breathe," to make a joke on a live stream, for which he apologized for and said it was meant to draw attention to the Black Lives Movement, not mock it. At the end of June, a different issue surfaced when model and Twitch streamer Bunny shared DMs from Zaymont that she felt were, quote-unquote, creepy and demeaning. A few days later, Lab Zero Games tweeted that a statement was imminent. Former lead animator and art director Mario Kaniku Cartwright, who resigned today, today being August 25th, said that the promised statement never came because Zaymont, who apparently now owns and completely controls the company, didn't allow it. Animator Jonathan, quote-unquote, Persona Kim, who also resigned today, posted a similar statement. According to Kim, the investigation revealed that, quote-unquote, Mike's behavior wasn't just scattered incidents, but actually systemic signs of his overall behavior and attitude as an individual. Specifically, Kim says that the stories about Zaymont compiled from Lab Zero employees include... I'm not even going to go into this. We're just going to move on. The third... it's bad. I mean, if you really want to find out what, just go to the link. The third employee who resigned is Brian EU03 Jun, who announced his departure yesterday. All three former employees say their resignations came after an attempt to get Zaymont himself to leave the company. However, they would not agree to his terms, which were, quote-unquote, absolutely unacceptable, said June, because he owns the company, had no recourse other than to leave himself. By the way, all three of them posted their messages on Twitter, long statements. Again, click the link if you want to read them. Mm-hmm. Instead of leaving Lab Zero peacefully, Mike refused to listen and decided that everyone in the company, including the victim he's victimized, are wrong, said Kim. His actions are insulting and unacceptable. According to Kim, Zaymont was only meant to be sole owner temporarily because the company was on its way to becoming employee-owned. It isn't clear whether or not that is currently the plan for Lab Zero. The studio has not responded for a request for comment, and the story is ongoing. And I know this really hurts you, TJ, because you know Skullgirls, and you're very heavy in the fighting community.
Yes, and there has also been an update on this today. The companies that own the IP for Skullgirls, like Lab Zero, doesn't own the IP. That would be Hidden Variable and Autumn. They've pulled support of they've pulled the IP away from Lab Zero, so that's at least good news. Hidden Variable and Autumn are going to be supporting the people that have come out with their stories, and they're also going to be moving in a different direction of development studio for the next Skullgirls. It is a tremendously shitty story because Zaymont had a lot of support from a lot of the FGC community. And it seems an awful lot like the George Floyd issue was sort of just like more of a indicator of things to come rather than an isolated incident now, because that is fucking unacceptable all around the table. It's sad to see something that is so beloved in the fighting games community take such a hit in that way.
I don't think the game is going to be taking a hit. I mean, from what I understand, if it just moves to a new developer, then you can have an exodus from Lab Zero, and Lab Zero will be no more.
It's also sad that, like, this guy was a respected member of the community and given multiple chances and still fucked it up. That's infuriating. Like, how much goodwill do you think you fucking deserve? I don't know. Like, that is... I know a lot of people in the fighting game community are hurt by that. But at the same time, like, it's good. It's good that the IP is moving forward from this horrible person, because, like, as Autumn and Variables say here, Skullgirls is bigger than any individual, and it will take more than the unacceptable behavior of any one person to bring it down.
So for those who don't know about Skullgirls, by the way, it is a very indie game. It is, I would say, sort of like a dark horse, you know? It's the sort of thing that really relies on grassroots stuff. Because the first I ever learned of it was in the TV Tropes forums, and people were just obsessed over it. And I had to investigate, you know, and I said, oh, okay. Cel-shaded, anime-esque.
It's got really a lot of good weird. Animation, a lot of interesting characters, and it's got, like, some of the best fighting game online code that's out there.
And it's so good, in fact. Shit crazy.
So good, in fact, that it was going to be, like, the headline title for EVO Online before that got canceled.
I know, there were four games, one of them was Skullgirls. And that's basically because the coding for Skullgirls Online is apparently terrific.
It's impeccable. But, yeah, so, like, end of the statement from Hidden Variable in Autumn. We hope this can serve as a fresh start for the next phase of Skullgirls development, unburdened by the events of the past. As always, we thank you for all your trust and ongoing support. Here's to a brighter tomorrow for the franchise we love. And, like, yeah, I have high hopes for the future of this series. It doesn't die with Lab Zero, and it doesn't die with a shitbag like Mike Zamont. And I hope he cries himself to sleep at night.
Yeah, here it's terrible to hear about this. But, I mean, it seems like a lot of these game companies need to clean house and get rid of toxic people.
By the way, getting back to Vampire the Masquerade Bloodlines 2 and that situation, it doesn't seem like it's a similar situation with me, too. I think they just didn't like the story they came up with.
That's so weird, though, because, like, I don't know.
There has to be something more than that, though. I mean, yes, you're right. It is weird.
That's a weird thing to just outright can a dude for. Like, that's been there since the since day one on the tabletop version.
Yeah. Anyways, let's move on to the next item. Go ahead, TJ.
All right. Microsoft sides with Epic in legal battle with Apple, from Eurogamer. The dispute between Apple and Epic Games over secondary payments has already seen its fair share of drama, with Fortnite blocked from the App Store and Apple threatening to boot Epic from Apple Developer Program, which they actually basically did cut all ties in another story. But yet, another megacorporation has now entered the fray, as Microsoft has filed a statement in support of Epic and Unreal Engine. Written by Microsoft General Manager for Gaming, Kevin Gamill, the statement is a response to Apple's attempt to revoke Epic's developer accounts and tool access for iOS and Mac, which would have serious repercussions for all studios using Unreal Engine on Apple's platforms. Gamill emphasize the importance of Epic's game engine as one of the most popular third-party game engines available to game creators, and argued that blocking Epic from supporting Unreal Engine would place the game's creators at a substantial disadvantage.
We can go back to a couple of months ago when we mentioned that Epic was now licensing out the Unreal Engine for free to third-party developers.
Yes.
Because they're already making their money from Fortnite, and now they wanted to spur development of games using their engine. So they said, they told the third-party developers, you know what? These indie developers, you know what? You can use our engine for free. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
It's yours.
Yeah, and like, it's massive to think about just like how many. That's probably something that a lot of people didn't even think about when they first saw this lawsuit come up. But like, if suddenly a whole platform worth of mobile gaming developers lost access to the engine they'd been using for their game, that would be substantially catastrophic.
So
mobile gaming,
and you'll realize why Microsoft is interested in this too. And it has nothing to do it has something to do with xCloud, but there's other things going on here besides xCloud.
Yes. If Unreal Engine cannot support games for iOS or macOS, Microsoft would be required to choose between abandoning its customers and potential customers on iOS and macOS platforms, or choosing a different game engine when preparing to develop new games, Gamill explained. Even uncertainty about the Unreal Engine's ability to continue supporting iOS and macOS make it less likely for Microsoft, and I believe other game creators, to select Unreal Engine for their projects. The whole fracas began earlier this month when Epic implemented an alternate mobile payment option for Fortnite to circumvent Apple's 30% cut.
I mean, if it was 30 cents, then they wouldn't care.
Their 30% cut of all in-game transactions. As this violated Apple's terms and conditions, Fortnite was then pulled from the App Store, something Epic likely predicted given the speed at which the 1980 Fortnite video was released.
Yeah, here's the thing. They were poking the bear there. They knew exactly what they were doing.
Oh, I believe wholeheartedly that they totally got a video.
They wanted to put Apple in the position of having to do this shit.
I fully and wholeheartedly believe that Epic did not mean to do that and totally got a video spoofing Apple's 1984 iconic slam of IBM together in an afternoon it took for Apple to pull their product. I'm joking. But Apple reacted. Apple reacted to this by moving to boot Epic from the Apple Developer Program, bringing us to where we are today. Epic has since filed for an injunction against Apple, claiming Apple will terminate all of our developer accounts and cut off Epic from the iOS and Mac development tool on the 28th of August. Apple then responded by saying this was a problem Epic had created for itself and has since called on courts to deny Epic Games' restraining order. But the restraining order was granted, temporarily at least. As ruled by U.S. District Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers, the temporary restraining order prevents Apple from limiting Epic's ability to support Unreal Engine, a move that would have impacted studios and game creators who use the game engine. Epic Games and Apple are at liberty to litigate against each other, but their dispute should not create havoc for bystanders, Rogers wrote. Apple has chosen to act severely, and by doing so has impacted non-parties and the third-party developer ecosystem. In this regards, the equities do weigh against Apple. The restraining order does not extend to Apple's removal of Fortnite from the App Store, however.
Yeah, because they basically broke the rules, and they broke the rules deliberately, I might add. So, yeah, and it's just a single game, you know, it's Epic's game. It has nothing to do with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is not going to end well for Apple.
Yeah, like, if anything, the ability for them to try to cut off service to Unreal Engine and affect a whole ecosystem of developers speaks more clearly to the fact that Apple is essentially a monopoly when it comes to handling their marketplace.
I have long felt that that commercial that Epic used is actually pretty apt in response to Apple being that guy on the video that needs to be smashed, because I think they've lost their innovation way, and they don't have a lot of gaming stuff on, or at least not that's that particularly interesting. It's like I
here's the thing. You know how many games on Apple Arcade use the Unreal Engine?
A lot. Hell, a lot of games on Apple in general use the Unreal Engine, and many of them are
on Apple Arcade, which is their curation of indie games.
I don't know if Oceanhorn 2 uses it or not, but I know that that's probably one game that I wanted. That's only on iOS right now, and there's not many other games I can think of that are on iOS that I would want to play. So yeah, I'm leaning towards, you know, siding with Microsoft and Epic on this. And you know,
yep, sure enough, Oceanhorn 2 is Unreal Engine 4.
Whatever you may think of Steve Jobs, Steve Jobs did all the innovation for Apple.
Yeah.
Apple without Steve Jobs then and now are stale and don't really make anything.
Did you see their major conference earlier this summer?
No.
In which basically it's like Apple's big thing in which they talk about all their new products coming. They didn't actually announce anything new. They basically just announced new additions of all their operating systems, and that was it. It was like the time in which they're supposed to announce new iPhones or new products, and they had nothing.
And meanwhile, Microsoft unveiled the Surface Duo, and everybody's oohing and aahing at that, even though it's $1,400.
Mm-hmm. I mean, even Samsung is trying to crack that foldable phone screen thing, the Galaxy Fold,
yeah.
Which I don't think that it's going to be practical anytime soon, but at least...
I don't want that. I don't want the folding screen.
It's interesting, but at least it's interesting and it's innovative. It's something new, which is like more than Apple can say.
All I know is that, you know, xCloud is going to be on in like 2 weeks, and I'm seriously thinking about getting a nice little Razer Kishi to put on my Galaxy S10.
Yeah, this is going to get so ugly.
Yeah, it's I mean, now that they have Microsoft on their side.
Oh no! Well, here's the other thing. Remember, there's another party that we haven't really brought up with, who is on Epic's side as well, and that is Google. And Google wants to have Stadia on iOS.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot, and I mean, I don't know.
I don't think Apple has anything to fall back on.
Google is likely on Apple's side to an extent, because, you know, Google was one of the groups that one of the major tech heads that was pulled into a Senate hearing on basically monopolies, which, if you really want to go back to where this all started, it's during that same Senate hearing that it was discovered that there was an email between Apple and Amazon in which Apple offered Amazon a lower 15% take if they would put Amazon Video on Apple TV, which is why everybody is pissed at Apple for doing that, because they, in that moment where Apple has been saying for so long, hey, everything is a fair playing field, everybody gets 30%, there's this email out there that basically said everybody gets 30% unless you've got something we want, and then we might cut a deal with you. So yeah, that's this is probably gonna go on for quite some time, and I can see this going all the way to the Supreme Court.
I can. Wow. I just want YouTube to be declared a monopoly and see what happens there.
Oh, YouTube is owned by Google now, so
I know, that's why we're talking about Google. I want YouTube to be declared a monopoly because that's what I'm pretty sure Google is worried about that.
Yeah.
I think the fact that Dailymotion and Vimeo still exists makes
YouTube
that difficult.
Has 87% of the market. That's a monopoly. Anyways, let's move on to the next item. This one's a little bit lighter hearted. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. Another intimidating obelisk has been found in Microsoft Flight Simulator. This is from PC Gamer. Another sign from what can only be a cosmic deity has been uncovered in Microsoft Flight Simulator, following the discovery of an ominous and impossibly tall skyscraper jutting out of a Melbourne suburb. Another has been spotted out in the middle of an Italian countryside. Some people say that this is simply the result of a typo made in OpenStreetMap. Zeppa shared a screenshot of the obelisk on Reddit, rising out of the picturesque Italian countryside. It's even more dramatic a sight than its Australian counterpart. For miles around, it's mostly empty, except for this terrifying monolith casting its huge shadow across the fields. Some of these oddities might vanish as Ozobo updates its facsimile of Earth, as they are the excellent tourist spots.
Yeah, if you saw one of these, just this huge, like, sticking out of the ground and going for a mile up.
Yes. And the first one was an issue because a college student was working on data entry on OpenStreetMap, and instead of a two-story office building, they accidentally put in 212-story. and then Bing Maps took the data from OpenStreetMap, and then Ozobo Studio took the data from Bing Maps, and it was kind of just like a domino effect that led to this massive skyscraper building.
And now there's one in the middle of Italy.
It looks like one of those markers. It's like one of those little map markers where they're kind of
little map markers.
It's a big one. Yeah, sorry, big one. Because I remember when Minecraft was doing one of its snapshots, they had these little glass glass obelisks showing up everywhere that was like by accident. They meant to remove it before releasing a snapshot. So a lot of people's maps would have these just tall glass towers just randomly sparkled, peppered around the maps. So that's what this reminds me of. I just looked at the picture of it. So it looks like a very, just, you know, like here's a marker.
Out of the ground.
Yeah.
You know what, Mo? This reminds me of Red Dead Redemption 2, and they put a lot of Easter eggs in it. Like, if you go to a certain hill at a certain time of night, you will see a UFO. You know? And I think something like this might be nice. I mean, maybe not an obelisk that's just sticking out of the scenery, but little Easter eggs would be nice in a game like this. And maybe sort of like a weekly thing, like a scavenger hunt.
I've seen at least one YouTube video where somebody tried to land on it. Like tried to land on the roof of it, and that was fun. That was fun to watch. That seems like a good, interesting challenge you just make for yourself in the game.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, just I think something like Microsoft. Here's the thing: the way they gamify the flight simulator is that they put up a challenge each week to who can do this landing the best, that sort of thing. But imagine if they decided to, you know, a scavenger hunt, and whoever finds all of the artifacts first around the world wins. That sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is basically having the entire world as your playground.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is 1-to-1. Meaning you better do fast forward, or else if it says it's going to take an hour to fly from one point to the other, even if it's like from one island to the other in Hawaii, if it says it's going to take an hour, it's going to take an hour.
That's amazing.
So. You know, I've long appreciated the aspect of Fortnite where it, not just as a game, but also as a platform, can be used for advertising, which is why groups like Marvel and DC flock to it to put their stuff in it. I don't see why you couldn't also figure out how to do something like that with Microsoft Flight Simulator, because it seems right for the picking.
I guess. I don't think about advertising, but I do think you could do, games sponsored by, you know, this scavenger hunt. Find the 20 golden Mountain Dews.
Look, all I'm saying is that if Asobo or Microsoft got together with, like, a popular artist like Steve Aoki and, like, decided to project a live show across the sky in a certain region,
that's
and you could see it by showing up. That would be dope, though.
That's not going to happen. You know, I just realized, you know, imagine if you had the 20 Mountain Dews. Imagine if they are life-size Mountain Dews, which means imagine the entire world, 1-to-1, and you have to find 20 soda cans scattered around the entire Earth.
Yeah, maybe. I like the Steve Aoki idea better. Why not?
It's not going to. People are not going to stand for it. They're not going to do it. And besides which, it's not Fortnite. It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. But you would have a whole bunch of people that flew to that area to see what was happening.
And then people would start thinking, you know, Flight Unlimited sounds like a good idea now.
Flight Unlimited?
That was Looking Glasses. What's the X-Plane? Yeah, X-Plane 11 seems like a good idea about now.
Nah, I don't think you'd ruin Flight Simulator, because it's not like you'd be ruining anyone's game by doing something like that.
Nah, it's not going to happen. It would generate such bad press you wouldn't believe.
I don't know why.
I think it's just something that you want.
I think it would be...
people can actually get out of the planes. I haven't figured out how to do it, but they've had people walking around New York in-game. I mean, things are really low res. I mean, when I was flying by a car on a takeoff, for whatever reason, it's such a tiny little strip that there's actually cars that drive right next to it. They look really blocky, but people can actually leave the plane and walk around.
You know what would be even better? If they got that guy that does that pop country cowboy song that screams, and they projected him over the mountains, and you had to fly to the mountains to see him.
Yeah, like I said, there's going to be plenty of mods. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I still want...
People will be flying Thomas the Tank Engine at some point.
Well, I'll definitely download any mod that has a dragon, because Flying Dragon would be awesome.
Yeah. Flying Dragon would be good. Especially Falcor from Neverending Story.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Do you want him to speak?
Yes.
Probably make him speak, yeah. Be a Treyo!
You can ride me for luck.
280 miles from your destination, prepare to land.
Anyways, look for our show notes at gamingpodcast.net. Look for this year's news and our gaming history articles. If you enjoy feedback, leave us comments at our blog at gamingpodcast.net. Also, hit us up at facebook.com/gamingpodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us some iTunes comments. You can find me at Twitter at Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chugs.
You can find me at Alpha Shark.
And we will see you next week. And I'm willing to bet you there's going to be more Apple Epic news by next week.
Absolutely.
And probably more Skullgirls news too, because that situation is still a hot thing that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, let me ask you a question: what is your favorite fighting game these days?
Probably Granblue Fantasy Versus, but I'm really just biding my time until Guilty Gear Strive comes out, which will be the end all be all.
Anyways, we'll see you next week.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun, be cool, play games, y'all.